I'm John Moe. This is Future Tense from American Public Media, your guide to technology and the modern world. It's day one of Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference in San Francisco, 5 days of meetings about software. Of course, what people really care about is the announcement of the new iPhone. We'll be following this all day, posting updates at futuretense.publicradio.org. Microsoft is canceling Bing Cashback. It was a program where if you bought something that you found through the Bing search engine, you'd get a cash rebate. But no one was using it, so they pulled the plug. Another Microsoft program lives on, however, Patch Tuesday. On the second Tuesday of each month, the company releases security updates for programs like Windows and Office. Tomorrow's list of patches is an especially long one. 10 security bulletins, 3 listed as critical, which is the highest level of vulnerability. Andre Domino is the director of Shadow Server, a volunteer watchdog group of security professionals. Andre, how effective is this idea of a monthly set of patches to fix security holes in Windows software?
We actually wish that more software vendors would adopt a similar practice. At least you know on a monthly basis that some fixes will be addressed. The problem is that once these vulnerabilities are discovered, very often it's those in the security community and the white hats are the good guys that point them out to the software vendors. And it does take a certain amount of development cycle testing before the patches can actually be implemented. During that time, the bad guys will take advantage of the vulnerabilities and develop exploits in which to attack the unpatched machines.
If I have an off-the-shelf bit of security software, are all these patches necessary if I already have that protection?
Yeah, they certainly are. And this Patch Tuesday represents patches to the Microsoft operating systems. There are other programs that people run, such as Adobe, Acrobat Reader, Java, QuickTime, things like that, that also have their own associated vulnerabilities. And those, too, need to be patched. If you buy a package off the shelf at a store, it won't address the vulnerabilities that are actually in the programs. That's why it's really up to the user to be very diligent in ensuring that they are properly patched.
So if it is up to you, how hard is it to keep your computer secure? That's what we asked Jeff Schiller. He's a network manager and security architect at MIT, and he says it's not that hard.
But there are a couple of steps that you have to do. One is, of course, you need to put in all the patches that come out. And then the other things are to install antivirus software, anti-malware software, and these days there's actually what they call security suites, which is a suite of software that handles all of these cases, and you keep that up to date.
We've recently read about how a lot of malware is getting into computers posing as antivirus software. How hard is it to detect a fake patch from a real patch?
Well, if you set up your machine to take patches automatically, those patches are downloaded in a secure fashion and they're very hard to fool. And if you do that, then frankly, you should ignore any pop-up that appears, particularly if you're in the midst of web browsing, because it's very likely just a web browser window that says, oh, you know, you need to install this security fix, click here. In fact, the best thing you can probably do, and this is going to sound strange, is to reboot your computer when you see one of those, because some of them, if you hit the little X to close the window, well, that actually acts as the go ahead and do it button.
Oh, really?
Yes. That can be faked.
We talked to representatives at Microsoft about the patches coming out tomorrow, and they didn't want to give details about the problems that these patches will address. I ran across this item that I'm really trying to wrap my head around. Scientists in California are trying to take the energy from stars, like in space, and convert it into energy here on Earth, something we can use as a power source. I'm not even going to attempt to explain how, but you can see the video about it and read the details at our website, futuretense.publicradio.org. I guess there's no shortage of stars and, you know, they wouldn't stink up the whole Gulf of Mexico. And one more thing. Activision, makers of the popular Guitar Hero video game, announced details of the game's upcoming sequel, Warriors of Rock. In this version, you don't just stand around noodling on the guitar. You can stand around, noodle on the guitar, and enter the quest mode, where you use your plastic guitar to help someone called the Demigod of Rock defeat something called the Beast to save rock and roll. So it kind of sounds like Dungeons and Dragons crossed with a heavy metal concert. Songs on the game's set list come from bands like Black Sabbath, Metallica, and Kiss, and Slayer. Oddly, no Joan Baez.
Please come to Boston in the springtime.
This is Future Tense. I'm John Moe.